The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Yo, what is going on, people? Welcome to Throw Down Your Questions. So 480. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
What's up, people?
How's it going?
Chris Seeley.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
Carlos Romero.
Yo, yo, yo.
And Richard Bailey Jr.
What's up, everybody?
All right, guys, you already know, back with the Sunday show. No Brian. I think he did say he wasn't going to be on this episode. We don't know what's going on with Brad. I think he's still initiating some, his own Odin sleep. He's been working hard lately, you know. he did the con, but also he's just been, working more commissions and stuff. Gotta make that bread, man. Gotta make that bread, you know, so I get it. All right, man, without further ado, let's get into it. I will say this right now, and I'll probably say this after the third question. We didn't get a lot of questions this week, so unless you guys want the show to be 40 minutes, ask us some more questions live. We don't have Brett here. You know, we're not going to have any of those rants. So, you know, give us questions. If not, the show's going to be short. Like we said, this whole show is dictated by you. And Carlos, do me a favor and keep an eye on the questions in the Discord just in case any pop up, and feel free to toss them in. Thank you. All right. Without further ado, let's get into the questions. I'm just going to read these as they came in. Illustrated Dio starts us off, man. So he's been playing. Okay, actually, this is kind of cool. So he was playing Dragon's Dogma Dark Arisen, which I think is just the name of Dragon's Dogma 1 now. And he said that was his first platinum. I'm like, oh, shit. You know? So because of that, he wanted to know if there are any achievements or trophies that you're looking forward to earning in the next few months. And he says, I'm looking forward to getting them in Stellar Blade, Sandland, Destiny 2, Final Shape, Street Fighter 6, Season 2, and Unicorn Overload whenever it comes to PC. Like I said, I'm kind of out of the trophies game as far as like looking forward to, like, oh, which ones am I going to get? You know, it's like if I'm playing a game and I'm really enjoying them, and it's like if I play a game, I really enjoyed it, and I look back, I'm like, hey, the trophies aren't bad, then I'll get the platinum. If not, I leave that shit be. I'm not a slave to the trophies anymore. Like I used to be a trophy hound, as you guys know. Hardcore trophy. Look at my trophy count, bro. Look at all those platinums. You know, like I was hardcore about that shit, but I let that slide because sometimes these things aren't fun. And plus, I just don't have enough time as I used to. Although this week, your boy's on vacation. So I'm getting open on a particular game that I can't talk about, which I'm very happy about. And will I get all the trophies? We shall see. You know, but that's not anything I generally look for anymore, you know? Chris, what about you, babe? Because I know you're still a hardcore guy, especially with the Resident Evil games, getting them trophies. So is there anything you're looking forward to getting in the next couple of months?
Yeah, I started Alone in the Dark. So I'm working on that platinum. I will say the combat's a little rough, though, because they obviously looked at Resident Evil when they made this game, but it doesn't have that kind of smooth shooting and like weapon switching and stuff. So it's a little clunky, which is funny because I remember I played the original game back in the 90s and that thing was super clunky and it didn't tell you shit. Like you get the rifle, you don't know how to shoot it. Then you're just punching and kicking until you figure out how to use the gun. I'm wondering though, if they put in all the death traps, like I just started. And I got through the first area, and I'm like, I remember that game was brutally hard. Like, you walk in the library, and a painting just shoots you in an arrow and kills you, or the floor drops away. You don't know where the breakaway floors are, and you just fall through the ground. So I'm looking for that stuff. But that I'm looking forward to. I'm looking forward to Stellar Blade, so I'm trying to finish Alone in the Dark before Stellar Blade comes out. I'll platinum that. Other than that, I don't have anything on my my bucket list for the rest of the year. So those are the only two right now I'm working on.
Yeah. What about you, Carlos?
Yeah, it's the only trophies that sort of are the ones that I want to get are, and actually I'm thinking about this now, and I think this is going to be the same thing for most of the panel. I think all of us want to, if it has a platinum, is the Elden Ring DLC.
Oh shit, yeah.
Because we platinum the first game. So yeah, I'm pretty sure most of us are going to be up to the task to try to get the platinum or whatever most trophies are for that game. So that's probably the only one that I really care about. The only other trophies that I want to get is just be the trophy that tells you that you beat the other game. So Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, Stellar Blade. If I get that, I want the trophy that shows that I beat it, and whatever comes in later this year. Since Sony doesn't tell us what's going to come out from them, I can't really predict.
Yeah. By the way, Jay Shep, I think he's channeling the spirit of Rich's joke styles. He goes, "I thought Carlos wanted a platinum foam stars."
Oh, that's Rich's game.
Yeah, that's Rich's game, right? Game of the year, right there. You know,
that's his goatee.
Yeah, Rich, what about you, Rich? I never really got your take on like trophies and stuff like that. Do you care about that sort of stuff?
Well, actually, yes, I do care now because I finally managed to get. I don't know because they changed the leveling system. I managed to get myself to the silver level. I don't know what that is actually, but I do care about trophies. Foam Stars is not a game that I will never play. So that's a good joke, but nah, son, we're not touching that game. But to go back to answer your question, Stellar Blade, yes. I am curious about that. I think the big thing for me is that there's still a lot of games we don't even know when they're coming out, because this time of the year, normally getting closer to June, you'll have an idea of what's coming out the second half of the year. And we only know about a few games, so I expect that to change. But right now, I would say Stellar Blade, I'm somewhat interested in that platinum. And I'm still trying to get the platinum for Tekken because I'm only three trophies away from getting that platinum.
Oh, shit. So, nice.
That's probably the two big ones right now for me.
Good stuff. Manny, are there any games coming up that you want to try to get the trophies?
Not really. I mean, just like you, but I've never been like a slave to platinum like you have previously, but. Nah, if it ends up being more achievable, then yeah, I'll get it. But if not, I'm not gonna kill myself on it,
Although just for full disclosure, every PlayStation game you've played in the last like 3 or 4 years, you've gotten a platinum for. Like pretty much,
yeah. I mean the thing is that also if you look at my habits on them, it's just I just keep playing it. I don't stop. So
yeah, so whatever game you do get on PlayStation, you probably will get the platinum. That's just your habit,
I have Hi-Fi Rush right now. I'm most definitely not going to get the platinum.
Uh-oh.
That one's a really difficult one to get out. So I'm just looking to get it to the place where I got it on Xbox, and I think I'm good to go.
Yes, that seems fair. All right, good stuff. But yeah, Rich, you bring up a good point, and that's something we've been discussing on this podcast for like a good since this year began. It's like, what's coming out this year? It's like, I don't know.
Yeah,
I honestly don't know.
I feel like that Alone in the Dark is a bit of a shadow drop because I didn't.
That is a shadow drop.
Anything about that
game? Yeah, like I was like, wait, what? Oh. That came out. I knew it was coming. I just didn't know it was now.
Yeah, and it's got David Arbor in it. From Stranger Things. I'm like, damn. Yep. Okay. How come nobody's saying more about this shit?
That game got delayed.
Oh, it got delayed. Oh, shit.
It was supposed to come out last year, but then they saw all that stuff that was coming out at the end of last year. They said, nah, we can't compete with that. Let's just release it later, next year. But yeah, to go to what Chris said earlier, because he said that they obviously were inspired by Resident Evil. So Chris, we have to say now, they are not alone in the dark. if they are looking at other competition and deciding, let's put some of this.
But I will say this, Alone in the Dark started that whole kind of survival horror, like pre-rendered backgrounds. And all. They did it first in 92. So Resident Evil aped off them. So it's okay. It's just like Devil May Cry bars from Castlevania. And, you know, things inspire other things. You know, it's fine. I give it up to that because you can't beat that combat that RE2 remake and RE4 is doing now. You can't beat that. You just have to join him. But I wish they'd tighten it up a little bit because he gets... Oh, okay, I got to warn people. This game has serious weapon fragility. You pick up a hatchet or whatever and start knocking around monsters, and that shit breaks in like 2 seconds. And it's annoying as hell. So just a heads up with people like, oh, I got a pipe or whatever. That shit will last you for 5 seconds.
The weapon fragility.
Hey, so I have a quick question.
Yeah.
For Tony, Carlos, and those in the chat. Speaking of the platinum, are any of you guys going after the platinum for Final Fantasy Rebirth? Because I heard that Square Enix released a patch that now you can get the platinum.
No, fuck that shit, man. Like, because one of them is you have to beat the game on hard, and hard consists of you can't use, magic, or you can't heal during battles. You can only heal like on one of those benches and shit. I'm like, no. The first one did that too. Remake. Yes. I'm like, I was like, well, fuck that. That's what prevented me from getting the platinum in that game. I'm like, nope, I'm not dealing with that shit. You know? So
yeah,
I will absolutely not get the platinum, Rich. You know?
Exactly how Tony mentioned it. That's the reason why I didn't platinum the first one, because the first one I put in a whole bunch of hours in, and I did pretty much everything you could do in the game except replay it on in a difficulty mode without when I saw the trophy. It's like, oh, if I had to replay the whole game again and like in hard mode, then that would have been fine. But they made it so where it's like, nah son, you have to do some other stuff. I'm like, nah, that's too much.
They're crazy. Fuck that. Shout out to Lotus Espirit over on YouTube. Also, shout out to Blitz joining us, man. Some of the regulars are coming back. I noticed that Blitz and J-Shep haven't been around for the last couple of episodes. That's because there's actually games out, you know? I always notice, like, the viewership kind of drops when there's games out. It's like, because we got some real gamers listening to us. They're busy playing their games, you know?
I thought it was a golden week in New Zealand or something.
You know? Nah, man, he's been playing some games. So he says, I wanted to hear Brett Sauce on Fallout show since he's a hardcore Bethesda nerd. Yeah, no Brett right now. And we didn't get any questions about
like
the show anyway.
We'd like to hear it, too. He may not even know it's out.
He may not. This is Brett we're talking about. Fergus Mills, what's going on, brother?
Give a shout out to Fergus
Mills. You already know, man. You already know. All right, good stuff there. Final Fantasy. Yeah, no, I'm not getting that platinum. You're crazy. You're crazy, man. I like you, but you're crazy.
It's too many.
I also like to listen to you guys while I'm at work the next day. Yeah, that makes sense. A lot of people tell us that we help them get through their work day. That's awesome to me, you know?
Yeah, I mean, our show is like some of our shows. Like, if you listen to two of our shows, that's like most of your work day.
Exactly.
We usually hit the 2 hour, like close to the 2 hour mark for per episode.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So if you're listening to us right now and you're at work, shout out to you, man. Good stuff.
Got a case of the Mondays.
You know, not your boy though. I'm got a vacation this week. Let's go.
Oh,
you know, although I call it time off, not vacation. I'm not going nowhere. You know, you'll call us. Staycation. Call us. I'm like, man, I'd rather invest that money. You know, fuck that.
Yep, gotta invest it, man.
Yeah, I gotta catch up. Wish motherfuckers would have told me this 20 years ago. Moving on here. Mr. Bushido, a.k.a. J-Shep, who's joining us in the chat tonight. So we got a pair of questions from him. Will Sony Interactive Entertainment be the first publisher to charge more than $70 for a standard game? Maybe. And I know why he's asking this, because they were kind of the first ones. Not exactly the first ones, because I think EA did it first. Whoever had that NBA game did it first. But they were kind of the first ones that standardized $70 games. So it's not unreasonable to ask if they're going to be the first ones to do 80. I don't think we're going to see 80 anytime soon. Because think about how long it took from us to go to 60 to 70. It was a good fucking 15 years. You know, I'm not saying it's going to take that long, but it may not happen, especially now since we're seeing more and more backlash against $70 games. So $80 games might be a tougher sell. Especially, you know, and I want to tie it back to the Star Wars thing. So one of the other reasons, and this is the reason I suspect it really got downloaded in the, you know, the video, is because of the collector's edition, which is like $130, microtransactions and all this other shit, you know? So people are kind of rallying against that sort of stuff. So I don't think $80 game, for example, or even $75 game, I don't think that's going to be stomached very well in the near future, you know? So I don't. Go ahead.
There's only one game that can charge $80 and get away with it.
GTA.
It's GTA. Yeah. If GTA doesn't do it when it comes out, they said 2025. When it comes out in 2027, if they don't do that, when that comes out, then no one's going to do it for this generation, at least for the rest of this generation.
Yeah.
But Sony is a likely candidate. They sort of stick to their guns in a lot of ways. Unlike, you know, Microsoft retracts everything they do. Nintendo is pretty good at that, but they're always behind the curve. So, you know, they'll charge 80 eventually, but they'll just wait for someone else to do it.
Yeah.
Sony is one of the likely candidates, definitely.
Yeah, that's why I think it's a good question. It's like, yeah, if anyone's going to do it, make it standard, it's probably going to be Sony, but I don't think we're going to see that for a while. Manny, what do you think?
Will they be the first to do it? I mean, now since it seems like everybody else is kind of moving away, right? I don't know, maybe. But and they don't seem to bend to any backlash either, which is interesting.
Yeah. But the thing is, when it started happening, people were more like, okay, I guess we're paying $70 now. At first, now people are getting a little antsier. But yeah, initially it was just like, okay, I guess this is what we're paying now. You know, but remember when that happened during the pandemic, when it's like, fuck, I guess I have no choice, you know?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Carlos. What were you going to say?
There's one company, I forgot which one it was, that did it and retracted.
It was EA.
It was like, was it EA?
Yeah, because
I remember the NBA it was before game. Sony.
Yeah.
Yep, it was before Sony. So they did it. They put their toes in the water and then they regretted it. And then Sony's like, look what we have here. And so they went with 70 and then no one cared. The only people that cared were the Xbox fanboys that were using it as ammo.
Yeah,
and then Microsoft started charging 70 for those games. Yeah.
And then, of course, the PlayStation guys were like, we're paying for quality. Remember that shit?
Oh, yeah.
Like, I'm proud to pay $70. You guys sound stupid when you say that type of shit, man. Just saying. Fergus Mill says the $80 digital deluxe editions are company's way to get more money. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and every freaking game has it. I mean, you go to the PlayStation store and you're like, oh, let me get Stellar Blade or let me get Final Fantasy. And the default window is never the standard edition. It's always the medium one. And you're like, that's how they get you. I mean, if you're a kid that doesn't know any better, I want to get Final Fantasy VII. That's the first one that pops up, the $80 or $90 version.
Yeah. So, and then like, okay, this is the one I'm getting. It's like, you got to dig around, dude, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting. Rich, what's your take, man? Will Sony be the first ones to have over $70 games?
I think that's possible for Sony. I do believe the comment that was made earlier about Grand Theft Auto, I think that is probably the most hyped game right now. So if Rockstar or Take-Two, because I know Take-Two will definitely take an opportunity to increase the price if they need to. That is the game, I think, where you could see a price increase and then that can start things with the industry again. But the question I have, if Sony is the first, which game is it going to be that gets that price increase?
The Last of Us Part 2.
I was just about to say that. The Last of Us 2 remake. There you go.
It's pro. It's on the PlayStation 5 Pro.
You know, the PlayStation guys will say that too. You know, it's like I'm paying for quality. Oh, man. Chris, what's your take, man?
Well, I think you guys made really good points. I could see, honestly, Take-Two jacking up the price because they're already locking stuff behind GTA Plus. So, you know, there's a subscription now for GTA Online, and they're putting stuff, even cars that used to be just sold in-game in the market, they put it behind that now. They've taken cars away and put it behind that.
Oh, shit.
So all these extras, they're taking out of the main game and they're putting behind that. So I could see them going, $80, and you could unlock most of this stuff, or they they extort you with GTA Plus if you want to keep playing and then unlocking all that shit. So I agree with Rich. I think they would do it before like Sony does it.
Yeah. Oh, J-Ship says Wolverine. Yeah, if they were to do it, it would be, yeah. You know that's going to have a digital duck suit or whatever edition, you know, the claw edition or whatever. Some crazy shit, man. All right, next up, another one for Mr. J. Shep. Is console market growth slowing because developers continue releasing last-gen games? I can't help but think if publishers were forced to cut off last-gen consoles after a certain point, then more gamers would upgrade to newer consoles. So he's basically saying, are publishers the ones to blame for consoles slowing down? Here's the thing. I don't disagree with your premise, but I think the reason things are slowing down is because we don't have that COVID surge anymore. You know, people bought their consoles and that's it. But I also remember, then again, COVID fucked everything up. Because remember, it's like PS5 was like outselling PS4 at that same time frame for a while, you know. But I also think, yeah, having those cross-gen games isn't helping matters, you know. And I'm fine, you know, I'm going to say it, man. You know I have to say this shit. I find it funny that people are just now complaining about this. I've been complaining about this since before the generation started. But I was the crazy one. Tony, what the fuck? Why are you hating? Now you're saying the same thing I've been saying for 4 fucking years. You know? Funny how that works. I guarantee you no one that was giving me shit on Twitter is going to say, Tony, you were right. You were right. No one's going to say that. None of them. You know? Talking all that shit. You know? Anyway, but yeah, I know. Cross-gen games... Again, I've been saying this forever. I own a PS5. It is hard for me to justify this system to people. At least it used to be for the first 3 years of this thing's existence. I'm like, you just play these games on your PS4. You'll be good, you know? Yeah, we're finally getting some games on our PS5 only. And it's a little it'll be easier for me to recommend a PS5 at the end of this year than it has been for the entirety, this entire fucking console generation. But again, if the PS5 Pro drops, what's going to justify that system, right? What's going to justify that? Because we're still going to, effectively, it's still going to be cross-gen games. Oh, we're going to get a shinier version of a game you can play on PS4, you know? How many times do I need to say this, man? This generation sucks. It sucks, man. It's very little to get hyped about, you know? And I know motherfuckers, oh, COVID. I get it. But come on, man. It's bullshit, you know? Anyway, let me stop ranting. Go ahead, man.
We had the COVID stuff happen, and then everything slowed down. Then we had a surge last year, and then it feels like that surge just ended. It's like, Where's the surge now?
Again, I can't answer the question. What games are you looking forward to this year? I don't fucking know. I don't know. I really don't know what's coming, you know? And Sony said, hey, no new games dropping this year, you know, from us, no new IPs. Okay. Why am I going to get a PS5 Pro then? Huh? Why?
The Last of Us.
Yeah, The Last of Us, another fucking remake, you know? I don't know, man. It's bullshit. Chris, what are your thoughts, man? About like are publishers to blame for, you know, releasing so many cross-gen games and subsequently, you know, the market slowing down?
Well, yeah, you know, this generation took forever to get started. There was way too many cross-gen titles. There was no reason to jump into this generation, especially in the beginning. So you said that. I agree with that. The problem is that. You, as a publisher, you face the issue of adoption. How many units are in the market of the previous generation versus this generation? Because the main three are going to force you, right? They're going to be like, here's your dev kit. We expect you to start producing games for this. It's like, fine, but there's already 100+ million of this in the market, and this generation just started. So let's hedge our bets and do a cross-gen. Right, we'll develop for both systems, especially when they're so close together. They're all kind of like x86 based systems, so it makes it easier to do that. So can I blame them really? No, because you're looking at the first year, how many systems are going to sell versus how many people are not going to adopt this thing right away and are still actively using the last gen system.
Yeah.
And that makes it difficult.
No, here's the thing. I don't disagree with that premise, but the problem is, as we saw, especially during the first year, if there was a PS5 version of a game, it sold better on PS5 despite the fact that there are way more PS4s. Isn't that crazy? Miles Morales sold a lot better on PS5, which is insane. Well, Horizon sold a lot better on PS5. So I'm like, okay, guys, like, look what's happening here. You know?
Well, yeah, you have to look at the market and then adjust. You have to go, okay, it's not worth it to continue to do cross-gen and then adjust your strategy. But they didn't do that. The cross-gen went a long time after, and I think they were, as Carlos says, the toe dips. They were not afraid to pull their toe out of the last gen, you know, so they just kept doing it.
Yeah. Also, I kind of disagree with one thing you said. You said that it took a while for this generation to get started. I would argue I don't think it started yet. I don't think it has. Has it really started yet? Think about it. We got one new game, one new exclusive generation game once a year, maybe at most, you know? So, you know, I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying I can make the argument that this generation hasn't even started yet.
I could see that point. I'm just kind of like, you know, I just play all my stuff on PS5 now. So to me, it's like, well, I kind of force myself in here. And then it's like, I do have a few exclusives. I'm playing like Stellar Blade will be exclusive and Alone in the Dark and, you know, but other stuff like RE4 Remake was still was cross-gen, right? So yeah. And that was last year.
But you're right. It's like last year. It's like, oh shit, it's happening. Oh wait, now we're stopped. It's like we were almost there because we got a bunch of like good titles last year, and now all of a sudden this year, womp 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 womp. You know, nothing. You know, nothing for nobody, man. It's fucking depressing, dude.
Go ahead, and we're still waiting for that. We're still waiting for that green wave.
The green wave.
Now it's like they're saying it's like, oh, you know, we just acquired Ninja Theory. Oh, we just acquired we just acquired this studio. It's like now, oh, we acquired Bethesda 3 years ago. Come on, we still got to. Oh no, we just acquired Activision last year.
So, go ahead, Rich.
Yeah. You said green wave. What's the green wave, Carlos? You're talking about Xbox?
Oh yeah, it's the influx of Xbox games that, you know, from all the 20 plus studios that Xbox.
Oh yeah. Owns. Well, we don't talk about that studio, but we don't talk about Xbox because until we see games, we can't talk about Xbox. You know, they have to deliver.
But Rich, the potential, they keep telling me.
Oh yeah,
you know,
there's a lot of potential. But I don't know if they've realized it because I haven't seen any games yet. But we'll see what happens.
Yeah, wait till next E3, right? E3 doesn't even exist anymore. Wait till next Summer Game Fest.
Oh yeah, the Xbox showcase in June. I'm pretty sure they will announce a whole bunch of things. But I will say, waiting until May to release your first exclusive, Hellblade 2. That's kind of crazy. This, you know, that's more almost halfway to the year.
Yeah,
years it's halfway over, so that's not good.
Not a good sign. Shout out to Go Otaku Ban. You already know. He says, "I just got my PS5 4 months ago." Yeah, you actually have some exclusives to play on it. I was always an early adopter, but not now. Well, I don't blame you, man. Manny, what's your take on all this? You're muted.
What was that again?
What's your take on, you know, the whole this generation in general? Are publishers to blame for all these cross-gen games, or, you know, what do you think it is?
It's them. It's them, and it's also the state of the world. Like, you know, they weren't sure that people were going to go out and buy a new PlayStation, and, you know, again, the PlayStation 2-4, you know, and the previous stuff all had. You know, they had a huge base, like a huge amount of installed base. I mean, to cut that stuff off would be, you know, suicide, I would think, especially in that first year.
Yeah.
You're just going to expecting everybody to be able to go over there. But the thing is that they really lacked that, those things. Unfortunately, the problem is that they lacked those titles that would send people over to the other console. Like previously, right? during the release of the PlayStation 3, right? The PlayStation 2 was still releasing games. In fact, God of War 2 came out at the same time as it did as the PlayStation 3 came out. So they were still releasing bangers, still releasing bangers on the PlayStation 2 before the thing over, but they still had enough titles on the new one to say, okay, we'll do it that way. But like you look at like the launch of the PlayStation 4. So the first official PlayStation, exclusive was Ratchet and Clank.
Yeah.
What in that section? Let's say they cut Miles Morales, right? They cut the 4 version of Miles Morales, which, you know, and they also cut, you know, obviously, and they have Demon Souls there.
Yeah.
But I feel like they still wanted to get that, you know, that bump from the previous generation. And I think that's totally the reason why they kept them around. Even now, you know, the numbers on the PlayStation 4 obviously are not as big as the 5, but people are still buying 4 games.
Yeah.
And I think that's the chief reason why we're still sitting in this stew, you know, the PlayStation 5 is not at a point where a person who doesn't have a lot of money, you know, is going to go out and get it. The games are like $70, you know?
Yeah.
So they should have made the transition a little bit easier for people.
Go ahead.
Hey, this console costs less than, you know, costs the drop the PlayStation 4 price, bump the PlayStation 5 price, keep the games the same pricing, and then, you know, lock down certain titles onto the PlayStation 5 specifically in the beginning.
Yeah. What do you think about the fact that a lot of the cross-gen games sold better on PS5, even though there's more PS4s out there?
Well, that's their great old marketing. They officially covered up the fact that there is a PlayStation 4 version. So obviously people did what they wanted them to do, you know, jump over to the new thing. So,
well, also,
you can't predict that.
No.
Right. You know, sense would dictate, oh, there's a bunch of PlayStation 4 games, 4 consoles out there. Not, you know, this new console is a little more expensive. People are not going to jump over right away. We'll keep them rolling over until the next one.
Yeah, that's what would make sense, but that's not what we saw happen, which is very interesting.
It's not the situation of the PlayStation 2, right? PlayStation 2 was doing stupid gangbusters mm-hmm. at the time of PlayStation 5. They were still releasing bangers. They were still like outselling it all the way till like, I can't remember. They were still doing PlayStation numbers like, I don't know, like three E3s after.
I remember after
the 5 came out.
It became kind of like a running joke at that point. It's like, whoa, they're still talking about PlayStation 2. Of course they were, because it was still selling really well. You know.
Yeah.
But yeah, again, I just always find it interesting. It's like, because again, the idea makes sense on paper. Hey, there's way more PS4s than PS5s. We got to keep making games for them. But then everybody bought the games on PS5. So it makes me wonder, I think there's a level of ignorance. I think a lot of people just thought, oh, the game's not available on PS4. So I wonder if the games would have sold better if people knew they could get up on PS4, you know? Remember, you couldn't even get a PS5. Like, it was very difficult in the beginning. Go ahead, Carlos.
There could be a different way to look at it. I think most of the audience that is sort of excited about these games are the people that got a PS5. Like that's the core fan base that, okay, I had a PS4. Now I'm getting a PS5 because I want to play my games, you know? And those are the same people that are buying, they're enthused, that are buying these games and that are playing them. And there's a lot of people that own PS4s that have owned PS4 for 5 years and probably haven't played, you know, for years since then. So
just to your point, because the games sold as much as they would have normally. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, yeah, I think that's a good point. It's like, because let's just be honest, exclusives don't sell as much as third-party games, right? So I think you're right. The guys who are hardcore PlayStation guys who make up the majority of those, like, first-party sales, they got that PS5. on day one. So they're going to buy the games. Right. No, that's a good point. That's a great point, actually, because I'm thinking about it. It's like, wait, the games didn't sell less. They sold as much as they normally would have, you know?
And a lot of the people that didn't buy those games are just casual people who have a PS4. And not only that, but the people, the enthusiastic people, the people that are excited that bought PS5s, bought it on PS5 and not PS4. So you have sort of a negative effect for PS4 sales with the casual crowd and the enthusiastic crowd, because the enthusiastic crowd shipped over to PS5.
Enthusiast crowd.
Enthusiast.
Yeah, because an enthusiast can be enthusiastic, right? But an enthusiastic cannot be it's not the right thing. Yeah, yeah. But yeah, the hardcore dudes, you know, the fanboys, be real. You know, the ponies.
Hey, the pony, you a pony.
Yeah. All right, man. So yeah, interesting stuff. This generation sucks. Moving on here, Alpha Chuck in the house. All right. Oh, shit. Question for those who have played Starfield. What is your excitement level, if it exists, for the planned, quote-unquote, Shattered Space DLC? How much of an overhaul would it take to get you back in the world? After putting in 100 hours after launch last year, I would need a pretty significant amount of content to get me back. All right, who has played Starfield here? If Brett was here, this show would go another hour. You know? Go ahead, Rich.
So let me answer this question directly. What is it going to take to get me to play Starfield in the new DLC? Absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. I reviewed this game when it came out, you know, in the very beginning. But I even recall that I said, when I spoke about the game on here, I said, yes, I did review the game, but I'm pretty sure whenever this other stuff starts coming out, like Spider-Man, so on and so forth, I will not go to Starfield. And I have not gone back to Starfield since then. I understand there is a Fallout TV show on right now. I know that people have been watching that show, and it has inspired them to jump back into Fallout, whether it's Fallout 4 or Fallout 76. I don't care if Bethesda made a show about Starfield. I'm not going back to the game at all. It's just not going to happen. So, I will say this for Alpha Chuck, shout out to you. I look forward to you telling us how the game is when you get a chance to play the new DLC later this year.
I'm sure Brett and maybe Brian will play it. As far as I'm concerned, I played the game. I put in like 80 plus hours into it. I'm not that excited about this DLC. We'll see. I'll see what, you know, when it comes out, what people are saying about it. But I don't know. And this isn't even going to be available on Game Pass, right? Like, is this like, can I get the DLC on Game Pass?
Or that do usually doesn't happen with DLCs.
Right. Well, so
I think they will make an announcement about this at the Xbox Showcase event and confirm whether or not that DLC is coming. Or maybe it's going to be, you know, Carlos, a case-by-case basis on whether or not we're going to do that, because this is what they do now. But you know what? Let me just add one other quick point. There will be some excitement for Starfield. That excitement will be when it finally is announced it's going to PlayStation 5 as well.
I mean, that's true.
Yeah.
I have a feeling it's going to go on PlayStation as well.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, because like no one's buying it on Xbox. Like, hey, maybe these guys will like it, you know?
But the crazy thing is a huge installment of the PlayStation 5 fan base are ponies.
Shat on it.
They shat on it for years now. And that they're like, fuck this. So they're already in their stubborn ways, like not going to play just because, you know, it was out on Xbox first, and it was part of the console war. It was a casualty of the console war.
Yeah, and we've historically seen, you know, like remember Tomb Raider when that was on Xbox exclusive, it came over, Rise of the Tomb Raider specifically came over to PlayStation, no one cared. So it may be the same deal again, you know?
Although I wonder how Hi-Fi Rush is doing.
I'm curious about that.
We don't know.
You know?
It sold one. I know that.
Sold one. A physical edition, whatever the hell they announced that thing. You know, that's my side note. I really don't like that limited run games always has their games. You know, anytime they announce those games, it's always like a year or two off. You know what I mean? Hmm. Like, or, you know, like number one, every single other one of those limited, you know, type game companies all seem to have their shit on the day and date. But yet and all those guys don't get have their shit together enough to be able to get it out on the same day. Dude, like, you know, like I get it. It's like, it's like fan bases and stuff like that. It's, you know, people want it. But the anybody knows when the sales are the highest and the FOMO's the highest when the damn game comes out.
Yeah.
That's and the right. minute that you don't catch that wave, people just lose fucking interest.
No, no you're right. No, you're right. real quick, Jay Shep, he goes, here's the new thing. Play Xbox games on PlayStation so Xbox will bring more over. so PS fanboys can talk trash about Xbox going third party. I mean, I could see that, you know, especially some of these influencers, you know.
Yep. It really depends on what angle people want to take with this.
Yeah, right. I know I initially expressed some interest in playing Starfield because I do, you know, despite the, you know, all the shit talking I do, I have enjoyed Bethesda games. You know, I like the Fallouts, you know, but I don't care about this one. Like, it seems like the thing I like most about Bethesda games isn't in this, you know, just this giant world to explore. I don't want to just go through fucking loading screens. Like, I'm good, you know? So fuck that. Go ahead, Rich.
Let me just add one point. There is one Bethesda game I am looking forward to whenever it finally gets announced, and that's the next Wolfenstein game.
Yeah.
And no, I'm not talking about the one with the two daughters. Just right, Wolfenstein. We don't need any of the other stuff. Whenever that is announced, because I assume that's going to get announced in the future, that's what I will play that day one.
Yeah, for sure. All right, man. The last question, and I'm not even being hyperbolic, very controversial. So if some of us don't want to answer this, like me, I won't. But I'm going to read the question regardless. Regarding this, also from Alpha Chuck, regarding the Sweet Baby Ink drama, do you feel they are becoming a straw man for why games fail? I am not defending them, as their statements and response to criticism have been shameful. However, I have seen many people quick to shovel all the blame on "quote unquote" wokeness, but games like Suicide Squad and Forspoken were failures for a plethora of reasons not related to any pandering. So whoever wants to answer this, you go ahead. You know, I've already said my piece about this. Like, I'm in the industry. I can't talk about this shit. Not without be canceled. You know.
I guess I'll go.
Yeah.
I agree. I feel like, you know, it's this whole thing with, you know, tribalism. I feel like you need to be in one camp or another. And if you're against one thing or if you're against this other thing, then you always use the straw man argument to just talk down everything due to one specific reason, while there's a plethora of things to actually blame stuff that sucks. You know, when we have these shitty games, you know, if we just go at the angle of blaming the sort of going through the identity politics and all that stuff, then you really don't get anywhere, because you just create these two factions that just talk about things that have nothing to do with why video game sucks. So, you know, I do agree. I mean, there's, you know, and remember, like, when you go on the other side, they do the exact same thing. It's like they go into to blame, you know, Stellar Blade because it has a, you know, a voluptuous main character. And they're going to hate the game because of that. Not because the game is not good, or even if the game wasn't good, they'll use that as the only reason why the game is not good in their minds. And you don't get anywhere. You don't get to critique what the game is actually not good at, or what the actual disease, like microtransactions, like unfinished games, games created by a committee, and all this other stuff that leads to why.
Half-baked multiplayer,
half-baked single player. There's all these other reasons why I feel, and major reasons why the gaming industry isn't thriving. And, you know, people will just, you know, stick to the talking points that, you know, are regurgitated throughout online and influencers online that are just grifting for clicks. And that's, and you just essentially, discourse becomes Twitter, and that's all it becomes.
That was a great answer. I'm going to let you handle these questions in the future. I like how you gave both sides, you know? Good stuff. Do we get any more questions? Because if not, this show's over, people. Like we said, this is dictated by you. You know, and we don't do things like, oh, what games are we playing? Because that's not part of this show. This is a question show.
Yeah, man.
You know?
This is the question show.
So if we didn't, Carlos, anything extra we got?
Not from Twitch, not from Twitter, not from the Discord.
Yeah.
I do have a question. For Rich.
J-Shub, let's get him, son. Let's get him. Two extra questions. Let's go.
Although I do have a question for Rich. It's kind of tangentially gaming-related.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, go ahead. Yeah, I mean, yeah, go ahead.
Yes.
So, Rich.
Oh, it's in Discord. Oh, shit.
Wait, I didn't see it on
Discord. Refresh that shit.
Uh-oh. Oh, he added some bonus to the original question that he had. Oh,
that's where it was. Yeah, Carlos, can you throw those in there? Because it's like harder for me to do it while I'm on streaming. Yeah, you know?
I got you.
Cool.
But
thanks.
The question I have for Rich is, you're Rich.
Yes, sir.
Are you more or less excited? And this actually can go to everyone who's interested in this show. Are you more or less interested about watching the Fallout TV show after Adam deemed it the greatest TV show ever?
Yeah. Hold on, real quick, because I want to read Adam's exact words. Adam, you know, Adam doesn't tweet a lot. As a matter of fact, let's do this. The last time Adam tweeted was on April 8th, and it was just some random YouTube thing. April 8th, right? So he takes to Twitter today, April 14th, and he adds Amazon Studios and Bethesda. This is what Adam says. I just finished watching Fallout and have to say it's the best damn show I've seen in years, and I feel blessed to have lived in a time to see its creation. Well, that's
high praise.
Yeah, but to say the least, you know, so Rich, so what do you make of that controversial statement?
Well, first and foremost, I respect the opinion of Adam Vale, friend of the show, forever, you know, a part of the team. I have never been a huge Fallout fan, so I am going to see it, because actually over the weekend, one of my friends from college sent me a text as well saying, hey, you need to watch the show. Now, I haven't watched it yet. I will check it out. I definitely respect the opinions, but I'm going to make it clear. I'm not a huge Fallout fan, so I don't know if I will think it's the best show ever made. But I am going to check it out, just because I did hear the opinion of quite a bit of people saying it's a good show. It's worth checking out. I think the issue is that I did see some thoughts earlier, because I believe they said this show was canon to the games. And there are people complaining because some of that stuff doesn't make any kind of sense. But again, I haven't played all of the games, but I will check out the show just to see what all the buzz is about, for sure.
Adam didn't play the games, right?
Yeah, he did. He's played Fallout.
Oh, okay. Because I was thinking maybe he didn't play it, and it could be like something where people who play the game don't like it because it deviates maybe from something.
Yeah, no, he loves Fallout 3 and 4, you know?
Oh.
And he likes 76 too, you know?
But I would say that he is, he knows the lore, but I don't think he knows the lore that well. So I'm thinking that's partially why he, those things that don't connect right don't stand out to him,
Got it.
It's kind of related to the last question. Because of certain things happening in the culture, I'm very wary of watching any new show unless it's heavily vetted. So I'm gonna see what people say about this show. If it doesn't have those certain elements I don't like, I may check it out, because not every show is like that. You know, I've heard very good things about Shogun and the House of the Dragon. I'm like, okay, it's free of that stuff. Good. I could watch if this one is like that. And I've heard actually one of the, quote unquote influencers that I watch, he very critical of that sort of stuff. And he's like, yo, this is good. I'm like, oh, okay, let's see what other people have to say about this. So we'll see. But at the same time, you know, I also heard that they don't go too deep into the lore, which I'm like, that's the whole point of this, isn't it? Like, they don't explore, like, they just kind of do like a surface level version of it. I'm like,
well, I mean,
okay, I mean, but dude, it's a, but like, it's for, but it's for it's for normies, so I get it.
What do you, what do you expect from like a TV show? I feel like they sort of, you know, like they you know, it's nice that they have that background. You know, you have a lot of that, you know, that if you want to go deeper, you can go and play the games. But I, to be honest, I think that's a really good way to do it. Where, in other words, you give, you know, you give everybody that there's an impression that there is a larger world. You don't need to go too, you know, you don't need to know how everything sort of works.
Yeah.
But if you
especially for season deeper, one, you know,
is especially for season one, because you don't want to like, you know, you don't want to overwhelm people who's this, if this is their first, like, you know, foray into Fallout, right?
Yeah. So I think, you know, if they go deeper into season two, that's fine. But yeah, but I have noticed that some people have been kind of, you know, the fans have been upset about that. And apparently this game, the show, like, apparently erases New Vegas from the timeline. Like, something happens in it that, like, kind of negates the events of New Vegas, which people are seem to be very upset about. But we'll see. You know, I'm not.
You can probably blame Bethesda for that, because that game did better than a lot of their other stuff.
Yeah, that's kind of the consensus. People are like, oh, Todd Howard's getting his revenge. You know. Yeah. But you know, we'll see what happens. I know the whole thing's out. That's been controversial too. People are like, you know, by the way, since we're fluffing up for time here, I find it very interesting that just a few years ago, when some show started airing weekly, people were pissed, right? Why is this weekly? I want to binge it. Now it's the other way around. Now it's like, why are you releasing it all at the same time? I want to watch it weekly. I'm like, yo, can we get some consistency here, guys?
You know what?
You know?
That's all the program. That's all the programming of these services. The only reason why they went to that to not throwing everything else at once is because they want you to stay there long enough with your stupid what is it, your stupid subscription. Because Disney and all these other guys, when everybody ran their course on all these on their things, they're like, oh shit, everybody's canceling their subscriptions.
Yeah
So now it's like, oh, now release it every week. No, number one, every single, I would say this, like, if that's going to be the, if you're on a service like that, you should still have some sort of difference than normal network TV. Or it just becomes, and we see it more and more happening now. Now they're adding commercials to streaming services.
Man, when I saw that Invincible, because, like, they got commercials now. What the fuck? You know?
Yeah, they got commercials in there. For commercials at the beginning and the end of it. So you're paying for something that you already get in commercials for.
Yeah, that's some bullshit, man.
Yeah. You know, but again, like, to be honest, the elephant in the room is advertising fucking pays, not subscriptions.
Yup. Exactly. That shit fucked me up, man. I would Invincible. And it wasn't like, oh, I haven't, you know, it's like, Tony, you haven't seen a stream, you know, enjoyed a streaming service. And you're just like, no, it's literally 3 months. When I watched the first half of Invincible season two, they didn't have any fucking commercials. All of a sudden there's commercials now, you know?
Yep.
It's crazy.
So then why if you're getting commercials, and why are you paying for Amazon Prime?
Well, for the shipping, you know?
And that's bullshit too. I canceled that shit. Because it's garbage. Nah, man. Like, I'm paying for all these stupid TV shows that I don't even fucking watch, and they can't do the main thing that they're supposed to do. Get me my shit when I fucking want it.
Oh, wow. That's crazy.
So cut the cord on those motherfuckers, because they
can't. Well, not for me. They get my shit on time every time. You know, I don't even do the express stuff.
Ever
like, I always, I'm talking about, so Manny, for you, obviously, but for me, I literally get the shit the next day, even without selecting that option. You know, great.
You know what? You know what's fucking faster? Getting shit from Japan.
It comes in a day.
DHL. In the next few days.
Yeah, but I wanted the next
even day. even if you it, and also, by the way, if you get free shipping if you pay $30 for, you know, you buy something that's $30, and to be honest, you get it about as fast as the stupid Amazon Prime, so it's garbage.
Yeah, I never had that problem. I literally buy shit for like $5. I don't have to pay shipping, and I get it the next day. It's great, you know.
I don't get.
But then nothing. Again, then again, you know, I kind of live in a little of a privileged area, so I
you
get
live
it,
in a you know? Live in a bubble. You probably because yeah. because there's probably a. You know, there's quite a few Amazon.
MaxPath is right there. That's where all the shipping is, you know.
And that's where all the shipping is. No, over for me, it's not that way.
Yeah, because you live, you know, out there.
Before the pandemic, it was like that. You could literally order something the day before. I could, like here's a good example. My girlfriend wanted to buy an iPad, right? Amazon said, with the Amazon Prime, said it would take a week.
What the fuck?
She ordered it. She ordered it from the, you know, because from Apple, you can also order a same day delivery.
Yeah.
And then she got, there's an Apple store near us and she got it that same day.
That's crazy.
So fuck Amazon.
Yeah. Fair enough. We got off on a tangent. Carlos, you were trying to say something about Fallout. You got to fill up time. It's good, you know?
Yeah. So two things. Shout out to Barry Burton. He says, I was going to watch Fallout TV show on day one, but I decided to wait till they released their first 30-gigabyte update to patch their plot holes. So shout out to Barry Burton. One thing that I wanted to mention, and this is sort of behind the curtain kind of stuff.
Uh-oh.
Remember, you guys talked about Dana talking about doing the podcast, and the thing with that I hate about this the binge stuff is you release it in one day, and it's like. It's like, and when they got released, I'm like, oh well, I'll just wait till maybe in a couple of weeks, maybe next month for me to binge the whole thing, because I was finishing Pluto, so it's like if you do it weekly, it's just more digestible, and it makes it easier for us to podcast and stuff like that, and it makes it easy and it makes it better because this thing is in the zeitgeist for longer, you know the show released that day. And you know, people are talking about it. It might last a week, and then after a week or two, no one's gonna care. So you know, it does a disservice to the people making the show because it doesn't really stay relevant for as long as you know. And from everything that I've heard, this TV show they put in a lot of money, and it looks like they put in a lot of money. So you know, doing a disservice, man, just releasing it all at once.
So. I just want to make a comment. I agree with everything you said, Carlos. And obviously, Amazon is very selective because you saw Invincible. That was on a weekly schedule. The same thing with The Boys. That's going to be on a weekly schedule. So whoever made that decision to say, well, let's drop all the episodes at once. I don't know what they were thinking. But,
this doesn't make any sense. I don't know why they wouldn't want to just get basically promotion for 2 months. You know, because eight episodes, right?
I mean,
you know,
what's in their slots right now?
Nothing.
So I don't know
why.
There's nothing in their slots.
No.
The boys starts in June, so I don't know what else they have.
Invincible right now. Stopped, so
yeah.
Yeah, I don't know why they did that. This off topic, but still kind of on it. I'm not a binge guy. I guess because just the way I grew up is like. We grew up watching TV shows once a week, you know? And even now when a show's available to me, I don't watch more than one episode a day because I like sitting with the episode I just saw, you know, taking it in. I've never personally liked the binge model. I don't think it's – and as Carlos said, it's not even good for, you know, the people involved, you know? So I'm fine with that because it keeps the discourse going and it gives you more time to sit with it. Because when you just binge everything, all the episodes just run into each other. And, you know, it's like, hey, what episode did you like? Like, I don't know, season one. It's, you know what I'm saying? And also it gives you a chance to have each episode be its own thing instead of just like a part of an entire whole, you know?
Right.
But again, that's my personal preference. I understand some people love the binging. That's why Netflix and chill is a thing, you know? All right, let's get to these other J Shep questions. None of these have been edited, but J Shep, you do a good job with these, bro. I barely have to edit yourself. There's some other guys, but yo, can you read your shit again, please? just once, you know? But J Shep's generally pretty good about this. I'm not going to worry too much. Was making Final Fantasy VII Rebirth exclusive to PS5 the right move for Square Enix? I believe releasing it on PC would have opened the door for pirating and creating another version for Xbox would not have been worth it financially. But I wouldn't be surprised if the third iteration is released on PC and 5 day and date. What are your thoughts? The first one eventually came to PC. I think that model works for them. Release it on PlayStation first, then release it on PC later, you know. Sales figures, obviously, they're not hurting, you know, both games.
And I'm pretty sure it's contractual.
Yeah, it is true, yeah. So I don't think they can change it whether they want, you know. So I'm going to say, yeah, I think it worked out for them in the end. Go ahead, Rich.
I think it worked out, but I also, to answer that question, I would say wait a couple of months because I'm sure there will be an announcement that it is coming to PC later this year early next year. So, because, I know they definitely want to maximize the money that they can make. But don't worry. It is coming to PC at some point in time.
Yeah. Yeah. The first one did. This one will too, you know. But I don't think it hurts sales overall. All right. And the last question here. Hellblade 2 is highly anticipated and set to release later this year and has been completely created under Microsoft. Not counting Forza, what was the last released game on Xbox that was 100% created while under Microsoft by a Microsoft-owned studio?
That wasn't Hellblade is not a fully created Microsoft game.
But it's been created under Microsoft. I think that's what he's trying to say.
It wasn't fully created under Microsoft. They were in development of that game before Microsoft.
So in other words, no, then there is no game.
No.
Yeah.
Well, no. We will not be seeing any games until possibly the end of this generation or the next generation, and those will be the fully Microsoft games.
Yeah, because Manny's right. Hellblade 2 development on that started before the acquisition, so that game doesn't count.
In general, development time for games are 5 years.
Yeah.
When did they pick up Hellblade?
Yeah. Whenever they bought
Like about four years ago, right?
Something like that. I don't know for sure.
Yeah.
Halo was the last. Yeah, Halo. Yeah, I mean, yeah, I guess Halo was the last one.
Yeah, and it was a disaster. So yeah.
Oh no,
why?
Craig Gate.
Grounded was.
Grounded was also a game that they were making specifically for Xbox. It wasn't fully an Xbox game until they picked it up. But it was one that was being developed by them initially. So that would be considered a full. But Hellblade wasn't originally going to be one of those. It was going to be a multiplat, and then they picked it up. So
yeah,
yeah. I laugh because Fergus Mill says, "Where's Brett? Xbox? Also, the Xbox needs saving from this question."
Also,
you know we're gonna go to win, man.
Also, Hi-Fi Rush is not a Microsoft regime game. Neither is the one game with the girl. I can't remember it. The one that the broken game that came out from
Bethesda. Oh, Redfall.
Redfall. Yeah. So yeah, that was also not one either.
Yeah, that's. I know Carlos still reminisces about the time we played Redfall.
I mean, every day.
A very short session, and never returned to the game. So.
That sounds like me and Carlos with Sea of Thieves.
Oh, dude. Yo, I remember playing, it was me, Rich, and Adam. We were playing Redfall, and we're just walking. I don't know what the hell, like, we didn't know where we're going. And then Adam died when we waited like an hour or two just waiting for him to get back.
Wow.
Yeah. I remember that too.
The search.
So let me just make a comment real quick about this. Yeah. Like you guys said, there hasn't been any Xbox games. When I saw this question, I looked up on Wikipedia to see Xbox Game Studios. And it is absolutely ridiculous looking at this list of all these games that were announced with no release dates. It's just I don't know what's going on with Microsoft. But we better get some news in the next couple months because this is not looking too good here.
Oh man, yeah, Microsoft, man. Chris, you have any thoughts on this? Because it's fucking wild, isn't it? Yeah, Halo was the last game. I don't know if Chris is around.
I got a question. You're in that list? Is the Kojima game in that list?
Yeah, yes, it is. I mean, I'm looking at the list right now. I see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, about almost 11 games to be announced. No release date. And one of these games, State of Decay 3. Do y'all remember when we saw that trailer for that game? Oh, haven't heard a damn thing since that game about that game since. Yeah, the cinematic trailer. So I haven't heard nothing about that game. Nothing. Yeah, it's a lot of this stuff. It's too many of them. Too many of them.
To channel the spirit of Richard Bailey Jr., I think Xbox is in a state of decay. Oh, man.
Yeah, I apologize. The last thing that was 100% Microsoft created?
Yeah, besides Halo, was that it? Was that the last one?
Yeah, what, Master Chief Club? Oh, Infinite, yeah, I guess? Yeah. I mean, is there another Gears coming or something? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
I guess you could say Minecraft Legends. Does that count? Minecraft?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I guess that counts. I mean, Forza Horizon 5, that's one.
Oh, Flight Simulator? You know, I don't know.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, there you go. Flight Simulator. There you go.
That's $1 million franchise.
Deep trees, man. Fuck. You got to dig real deep. Microsoft ain't got no fucking games, man. But yeah, like, you Xbox fans, keep holding on to hope. They're coming. They're coming. 27 studios. They're coming. You know.
If we're all waiting for all this stuff to come to fruition, you know, like we know Double Fine's working on something, but nothing's been announced. We know there's a couple other things that were announced, and just nothing in there. What's going on?
Yeah, where the game's at? Where the game's at?
So I'm not sure if you guys have noticed, but you often make the comment that Insomniac has been the studio that has been keeping PlayStation afloat.
Yep. MVP.
Well, for Xbox, it looks like that's Obsidian, because you have Avowed, you have the Grounded game. I mean, that's what it looks like, because when you look at this list, they've made the most games that they've released on Xbox of all the other stuff that they have. So that's pretty ridiculous.
buying studios. Yeah, how's that working out? You know, where the games at? Like, yeah, you have more studios than games. You know,
they don't. I think it's like they probably knew what those guys were working on, and were just like, all right, this would be a great investment to do this sort of thing. But again, like, come on, guys, like, what's going on with all of that? And nobody's saying nothing. What are you waiting for, man? Oh, throw up the floodgates, because. You know, people are,
like,
are
you said,
dying of thirst here.
Yeah, but like you said, it takes 5 to 6 years, man. That's the problem. That's the fucking problem. Sean Layden, bruh.
Yep. It takes 5 to 6 years for those titles to come to fruition. Even like maybe a smaller title that like maybe like a Double Fine game would be considered 5 years as well. So, The thing is that they should have had something earlier on, right? And to be honest, like, I feel like the smart move that Sony did, knowing that that they may not have a lot of games at the launch, so the reason why they ported over a Spider-Man Miles Morales and essentially took an old game like Demon's Souls. Because they knew that those games wouldn't need the same amount of time as maybe a regular from scratch title.
Yeah. J Shep says Xbox should do third party exclusives. If they do that, I'll be on Twitter all day. The reaction is glorious.
Think about it, they did third party exclusives.
But like, imagine
they had the Xbox 360 generation and Xbox One generation was filled with that.
Yeah, no, but he means like an Xbox game that only comes out on PlayStation.
They just want to make it come out on PlayStation.
Yeah, like, that's a third party exclusive. Yeah, I'll be on Twitter all day. You know.
Mm.
Oh man, that's hilarious. Blue Point is due for a game. What are they up to? Reggie, what's going on, man? Go watch X-Men.
Well, Blue Point does have, they keep saying that there's a Blue Point game that's an original game that's being made. We don't know what that is. We also don't know, you know, obviously they've been bought by Sony. We don't know if it's just they're making a new, you know, obviously it's a new game, and it doesn't seem like they're making any sort of remasters, it seems like, anymore. which is unfortunate because they were good at that stuff.
Well, I have I have a prediction, you know, and this is the reason why Tony, Carlos, and everyone on the panel will get a PS5 Pro. They're going to announce they are working on a remaster of Bloodborne for PS5 Pro.
Could you imagine that?
Yeah.
Oh man, that would be wild.
It's crazy how much it's crazy how many people are clamoring for that, and somehow Sony hasn't done this yet. With Sony and From Software, I guess.
Yeah, they keep giving you The Last of Us over and over and over again.
Yo, man, they need to do an Order 1886 remaster.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Oh wait, they can't even do that because Ready at Dawn is owned by Facebook now.
Yeah. Oh man. You know, it's funny. I met the guy who founded this studio, the Indian dude, right? And I told him, I'm like, dude, I really like Order 1886. He looked at me like I was crazy. I'm like, I wasn't joking. I wasn't trolling. I was being sincere, you know. But I guess people don't tell him that.
Well, here's the thing. He's usually heard that game sucks from people. So I'm like, it's like, he's probably like, man, this dude is pulling my chain.
That's what I probably did think that. I'm like, no, I was being genuine. I like the game, you know? All right, man. Now we're really done. Thank you, Jay Shep, for the questions, bruh. Kept us going, you know? All right, man. So that's going to do it for us. Rich, what's going on with the coalition, sir?
So as Carlos pointed out earlier, I believe there still is going to be a Fallout show at some point. I will most likely not be on that show because, as I've already said, I have to watch the show and check it out. But stay tuned for that. You might want to have a look and see what we decide to do. We're working on a couple of different reviews and content for the website. Stay tuned for that. And I would also encourage you all to check out the Coalition Gaming YouTube channel because our very good friend Danny Martinez actually posted up a video with his thoughts on Helldivers 2.
Oh, shit.
So definitely check that out. There's a lot more content coming to that channel, too, so stay tuned.
Good stuff. You're Rich.
Yes, sir.
You know who should be on that Fallout review show?
Well, who's that?
none other than Adam Vale.
I agree.
He loved the show more than Breaking Bad, Game of Thrones.
That's the first time I've heard Adam was excited for a show. He's never even spoken that highly of any of the Walking Dead spinoffs.
He took me and Rich by surprise because he texted us this morning. He's like, with the phrase, we're like, wait, what's going on? I was shocked. I thought The Walking Dead was better than this.
Nope. J-Ship goes, can I ask one more question? Sure. Mike Ibarra comments on tipping after a game. I don't know what you're talking about. Let me look this up. Like what? Like tipping like you're tipping for like an order or something? Yeah, let's look this up. I have no idea.
I'll vamp.
Go ahead, vamp. I got to look this up.
Oh, what's that, Manny?
Oh, Ninja Turtles.
I was getting this ready because what are we doing? But since I have it here, let's answer the question first.
Yeah. So
pay no attention to the image that you see.
So I'm going to read this from Eurogamer because this is the first time I'm hearing about this. You got to remember, guys, if news happens during the weekend, I don't know about it. I don't pay attention to that shit. I'm not working during the fucking weekend, you know. Former Blizzard boss Mike Ibarra would like the option to tip developers once he's completed a game. Whilst acknowledging that most will dislike this idea, Mike Ibarra says that when he beats a game, he has often thought, I wish I could give these folks another $10 or $20 because it was worth more than my initial $70. I've thought about this idea for a while as a player since I've been diving into single-player games lately. When I beat a game, there are some that just leave me in awe of how amazing the experience was. At the end of the game, I often thought, I wish I could give these folks another $10 or $20 because it was worth more than my initial $70 and they didn't try to nickel and dime me every second. Games like Horizon Zero Dawn, Gears of War, Red Dead Redemption 2, Baldur's Gate 3, Elden Ring, etc. I know $70 is a lot, but it's an option at the end of the game I wish I had at times. Some games are that special. I know most will dislike this idea, but I realize we are tired of tipping and everything else. I'm going to talk about that. But I view this different from a pleasure to tip type scenario many face and give feedback on. Interesting take. I wouldn't do it. It's like we're already getting what the fuck don't we tip for nowadays, man? You can't go to a restaurant. You literally, like, I'm sorry, Paris baguette. I'm using an example. I pick up my sandwich, go to the counter, and they're like, tip for what? I picked up the shit. I bought it here. You know, you should tip me. You know, fuck out of here with that. There's this other place I like to go to. You know, it's like whatchamacallit. Well, anyway, I go there. I want this, or I order this. Okay, cool. Here, tip. For what? I'm picking it up. I'm not eating here. You're not bringing it to me. You know, it's fucking insane.
Yeah, I mean,
tipping culture has become insane, man.
Well, I mean, I think, you know, I mean, obviously, though, I think in New York, they also enacted like an auto tipping thing, too, you know.
I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah, they fucking insane, man.
That's what I heard, that they're like, yeah, they wanted. They
put, and I'm an asshole, too, because they put that thing in your face. Do you want to tip? Click no. Fuck that. Mm-hmm. I pay enough for this shit, you know. Goddamn state taking all this fucking money from me. Goddamn government. I'm not paying you nothing, you know. If you bring it like DoorDash is like that, yes, I'm going to give you a good tip, obviously. You know, I'm at a restaurant, I'm going to give you a good tip. But not when I pick up something from the counter and bring it to you. Fuck out of here with that shit. I'm tired of that, mm-hmm. you know. And that really became prevalent during the pandemic. Now it's just like, we hear it. Everything's doing it now. You know, it's insane. Anyway, that's my rant. It's fucking bullshit.
So tipping developers.
Yeah, tipping developers.
Developers. No, I wouldn't. I don't feel like I want to
tell
to
Mike to them. Tip these nuts.
I mean, I mean,
Fergus, crazy.
I don't know. Like, I feel like, to be honest, if I really like something, I'll probably buy something. Like, I'll buy a DLC, right?
Yeah.
If they, you know, if they have one of their little cheesy costume DLC, I'm like, all right, yeah. I mean, let me flip them a couple of bucks for this. I mean, that's what I did with Hi-Fi Rush. I bought the, because I got it for free, right, on Game Pass. I bought their DLC to give them money because I'm like, they deserve some money for this shit that I'm playing. So I bought the DLC. And eventually I bought the game so that I could have it later. And I bought it again. But again, I'm still getting something for it as opposed to the tip. I would much rather them offer me something to buy optionally than to be like, hey, look, I'm just going to give you a tip on that. I don't need the tip. You don't need the tip. You're already getting a lot of my money already. So, yeah.
Can you imagine you beat a game? Would you like to tip? Like, I get enough of this shit in the real world, man. I don't want to deal with that in the game.
Ibarra is talking is like, if give the option. But the thing about it is that then it's so if you give,
you know,
the
it's going to get abused, like, okay, you know,
it's going to become a situation where it can become intrusive. And I think that's when I think it starts to become it's as opposed to, hey, you like this, give an extra little bit of money. I'm okay with that sort of idea. But then, you know, it's going to be is literally like it gives you a percent, like 3% that you could give at the end. I'm like, no.
Yep.
At that point, because you didn't, because of this, I'm not going to do it.
Yep.
So
that's the way I'm seeing it. It's like, you know, there isn't, it would be like that, you know, $3, $4, $5.
Nah, just offer me something. Just like I say, you know, just give, if you got something, give it to me. But I'm not going to give this, you know, I've already paid for this thing already.
Yeah,
I see. The tip is that the tip to me is the DLC that they put out. That's the tip.
Yep, I agree.
But they had to work for that too.
Yeah, Rich, what's your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree with a lot of what has been said. You know, I don't like these companies also announcing the season pass before the game actually comes out. They will, you know, you'll see videos up. This is all the content that's coming out. And again, if you're paying for a game and then you're also paying for the DLC, if you decide to do, I think that's enough. It shouldn't be anything more than that. If they want to tip so much, then let's just go back to what we said at the beginning of the show. Maybe there does need to be a price increase. Instead of a $70 game, just make it, you know, $80, $90, maybe even $100. And then That's it.
Yeah, I prefer that than a goddamn tip, you know? I don't think there's anyone here that would actually like this. I'm guessing. Oh my God, silly. But I see where he's coming from. You know, I'll give him that. I see where he's coming from, but no. Hell no. All right, now let's really start packing. Now, Manny, what's going on with the turtles? Toitles.
Ah, yes. So remember that thing that I couldn't announce, talk about? Well, back there it is.
There you go.
So, IDW is going to be doing a Ninja Turtles 40th anniversary special. And they got the band together. So they got me, Kari Randolph, and Lloyd Goldfein. Lloyd Goldfein was our showrunner and wrote a lot of the plots to our show. So we're doing an all-new story based in the 2003 universe of Ninja Turtles. So my cover is, they asked me specifically to do a bad guy cover, and I did another cover with Kari, which is the Turtles. And yeah. And it's coming out this July, so stay tuned for that. Also, another announcement. I'm going to be doing something a little interesting. I recorded a time-lapse. If you look on my Twitter, you see that there's like a short version. I actually have a 42-minute version of that same time-lapse. It's a little bit longer, and you get to see a little bit more detail and stuff. I'm thinking of doing a sort of like premiere on my own YouTube channel. Where, you know, I'll show the video of me drawing the whole thing in the 40 minutes and then also do a QA to just talk about the process and also working on the show. I asked the folks on Twitter and Instagram. They seem to be pretty interested with it. So, yeah, I haven't decided when I'm going to do this, but there is going to be something coming soon.
Yeah. Manny, J. Shep goes, when can you send him the signed thing?
Well, you know, I had quite a bit of things happen. So yeah. It's all prepped up. I just need to get over to the post office.
Cool. All right. Good stuff.
And there's a little bit more in there for you,
Mike. Yeah. A little something, you know. Cool. All right. Yeah. He says it's all good. All right, man. We're done here. So make sure you follow Throwdown on Twitch and Twitter. Join the Discord with conversations. The rumors are always popping. Obviously, we are back on YouTube, so make sure you hit like, subscribe, and hit the bell to be notified of when we go live, baby. We are also on every podcast app on the planet, throwdownshow.com for our past episodes and for everything else Throwdown related, even though I literally just gave you everything. Links down below. Once again, I was your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you next time.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Carlos Romero.
Peace out.
And Richard Bailey Jr.
Have a good week, everybody.
All right, you already know, man. Thursday, later.